opportunities to have that celebration on Wednesday. I thought it was quite ironic that they ended the celebration of Independence Day. There was a police officer standing in front of a burnt down house that actually caught fire with the fireworks. And he said that he thought that police and fire would have an extra busy weekend because Independence Day falling on Wednesday, that most people were going to continue celebrating all the way to this weekend. So that was mentioned that the last week we were going to talk about Independence Day 4 days away, or talk about it 3 days after. Actually, 3 days after, at least it would be fresh in our memory. And when we talk about Independence Day, we get around the 4th of July. In this country, especially in houses of worship, I can't help but always thinking about history and prophecy. History and prophecy. History is to remember Independence Day, our Independence Day in the United States of America. We remember our. It is a day to remember it, a day to remember our independence, and a day that we declared it, if you will. It isn't so much about the future, although that we believe that independence will always be our future. By the way, God, our future is completely dependent upon our freedom. Completely dependent on our freedom. But our country began this grand experiment called liberty, if you will, or freedom, if you will, with some self-evident truths. And I was looking at the Declaration of Independence, and I think that this is probably the paragraph that everyone remembers the most. Most people, if they have all memorized, this is the one that they don't forget. The only truth to be what? Self-evident that all men are created what? Equal. That they are endowed by the Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among those are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. So when we look at Independence Day, it's so much about history, and you don't think that it's so much about prophecy. We're a prophetic people, but mostly we associate prophecy with what? With the future. We associate it with the future, not so much with the past. Have you noticed that? Most people, actually, even most people who don't have any Bible background at all, they think that's what prophets do, that prophets predict what? That they predict the future. So we make fortune tellers out of the prophets. But you and I know better. We know that prophecy is very little about the future. And it's more about what? It's more about the past. Jesus said it himself. He said that he told another child, man, if you will. A great robot. A great world dragon having 10 heads, 10 horns, and on his head were 7 what? Diadems, or crowns, if you will. The dragon stood before the woman who was about to bear a child, so that he might devour her child as soon as it was born. So 7 heads, each wearing 7 crowns. By the way, the crown of power, not of victory, but king's crowns, if you will. That's what he's wearing. You with me? Difference between the crown that he's wearing and the crown that the white horse rider is wearing is that the one that the rider is wearing is a victorious crown, a laurel wreath crown, if you will, a Stephanos crown. This is the crown of earthly power. This is a king's crown, if you will. How many does he have? He's got 7. Now you might be, well, wait a minute, Greg, I told this a couple weeks ago that 7 was whose number? Was God's number, right? But 7 represents then a wholeness, if you will, an entirety. So what kind of power does the dragon have? It's God's number, but it's 7 that he needs a perfect earthly power. The fact that he's got 10 horns, and it should be said, horn represents power. It always represents power. Military power, political power. The power is in the horns, if you will. And we've always believed that. 10 horns, 10 kingdoms, 10 kings. But where? What kind of kings? Where are the kings now? Here, on earth. So apparently, the dragon is at war too. But what kind of war is he fighting? He's fighting one of military might, of power. He has some power behind him, some earthly power. 7 heads, 10 horns, 7 crowns on those, if you will. He doesn't look like the right arm of my own son. Certainly doesn't look like the right arm of his son. Exactly the opposite. He carries out this military victory, if you will. So you have this, the pinnacle, if you will, the most prophetic picture of most power, of the most power of the universe. Hey, that right there is the most powerful creature on earth. Because that's what it said. 7, 10. Nothing but horns and crowns. Now, by the way, I told you last week that the horse was fiery red. You know, he was fiery red. The only other place that we see that word fiery red is right there. Remember, we had looked last week that that horse, if you will, this false church, if you will, this false power is carrying out the shedding of the blood, which is why he's the same color as the dragon. The only other time you see that red, if you will, that fiery red. So you have the most sanitation happening over and over by the time that we get to 12. You've already been through this program. You've already been when the land took control, when he decayed and got to the tower. You see how it all stays together in the book of Revelation? How it all stays together. So he was caught up prophetically in what he's saying, is that he was protected. And now what is it that he was protected? The woman fled from the wilderness which he had a place prepared by God so that it should be nourished for 1,260 days. Since the dragon came into the baby, he turned his attention to who? To the woman. Which is who? Which is who? Black servant. I'm glad you're making it around the house. So she's protected by the wilderness. Why is she? fight, you have to have military power. You have to have political power. So all the classes are fighting for this political power. Each country chose their own faith, and they decided to find that out. You read the Roman Catholic, you read the various branches of Protestantism, but if you were an individual, your rights did not exist. If you were different, you were not tolerated. You weren't tolerated by the Lutherans, you weren't tolerated by the Calvinists, you weren't tolerated by any of them. If you were different. I want you to think of the people that you've heard of that is part of the church in the wilderness, the Cubanos, the Waldenses, all of these mentioned in the Great Controversy, the Anabaptists. They all had a thing in common, by the way. They were all Christ. They were all seeking to love as the Lamb had loved them. And when you're a pacifist in an entire world who thinks it wins by war, your days are numbered. You're either persecuted by Catholics or persecuted by some branch of Protestants. Look at this time in history, 1540, the Society of Jesus approved by Pope Paul III. The Counter Reformation now begins. They're going to fight back now. 1542, they reinstated the Inquisition. First one was so much fun, and then again. 1545, martyrs begin even in England, bloody Mary, martyrs, Cranmer, and Latin. 1554, the Jesuits are expelled from England. 1572, the St. Bartholomew Massacre. 50,000 Huguenots died in one night. And by 1600, it isn't over, it's getting worse. From 1618 to 1648, what we call the 30 Years' War. Those are churches. Those are churches by the 30 Years' War. It is the most destruction in European history. It had the population of Europe. The plague only did it by one third. Imagine the one that every year for 30 years. And you have that one. Almost Massachusetts Bay. I'll put on Massachusetts Bay because it epitomizes pretty much most of the colonies, if you will. But in there, you had to be a Puritan to live there. You had to be an English Puritan in order to live in Massachusetts Bay. In the 1630s, though, there was a left-wing Puritan, a liberal Puritan, a left-wing black girl. He was crazy, he was a nut job. Everybody thought that he was absolutely crazy. He was looking for room for his own experiment in Massachusetts, and he didn't find it. He found it to be just as brutal as what he was facing back in England. And he said so. He says, I've got three problems with you, Massachusetts. I think we should have a right to separate rather than to form or reform a European religion, if you will. I will not take specific votes condemning religion, and I don't appreciate your practice of appropriating land from the natives without paying for it. This guy said, man, this destiny. What was his name? His name was Roger Williams. Crazy, nut job. They banished him from the colony. So he started his own. On land, he buys from the natives. surface, we look very random. But when it comes down to it, eventually, we're going to begin to speak like him, like the dragon. And what is the dragon completely dedicated to? Taking liberty. The taking away of freedom, especially religious freedom.
Thank you.